In the late 1990s, city planners for Milwaukee decided to rebrand one of the neighborhoods hit hardest by the collapse of the city's manufacturing and industry. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kenton. That's how Franklin Heights on Milwaukee's near north side became known as the Imani neighborhood. At that time, only the name changed. As the Journal Sentinel explained, community centers were shuttered, parents kept children indoors, jobs left, and drugs came in. But over the past decade, one of the city's lowest income neighborhoods has become a model for urban renewal and community development. That according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum. So what do you know about what's happening in Milwaukee's Imani neighborhood? Join our conversation this hour at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Our guest, Marisha Harris. She's the executive director of the Dominican Center in Milwaukee. Marisha, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you today?
Wonderful, and thank you for joining us. Also joining us this morning is Barbara Smith, a longtime resident of the Imani neighborhood, former president of Imani United, and currently the chair of the City of Milwaukee's Housing and Economic Development Committee. Barbara, good morning to you, and I'll start with you with a first question. For those who do not know, how do you describe your neighborhood, the Imani neighborhood?
Great Friday morning. How do I describe Imani? Imani means peace in Swahili. So that is the goal that we are trying to reach as a community, as a neighborhood. We're trying to get back to the peaceful community that we once knew that we had, and we can do that.
And how would you assess the progress, Barbara?
We're moving along very well. We do have connections with our neighbors now. We communicate more. We're trying to find out how each other is doing. If we don't know each other by name, we definitely know each other by face because we are out in the community. We are walking our blocks. We're cleaning up our neighborhoods. We're communicating positively with one another.
Marisha Harris, as executive director of the Dominican Center in Milwaukee and a lifelong resident in Milwaukee, how do you see the Imani neighborhood and the Dominican Center's role in it?
I see the neighborhood as aspiring. It is so inspirational to see everything that's happening in the Imani neighborhood. As Ms. Barbara just explained, there are so many residents and key stakeholders from across the city who are really genuinely invested in seeing the neighborhood move forward and become once again a thriving community. And every day people are raising their hands to play a role in revitalizing the neighborhood. And so I find that incredibly inspiring and powerful.
And while you were a lifetime resident of the city, your role as the executive director of the Dominican Center, you took on that executive role, was that last year, right?
Yes, September last year.
Yeah, and so what, and go ahead.
You go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I want to ask about the pilot housing program that began in 2019, Marisha. It's called Block by Block, and it's called that for a reason. How does a program approach revitalization?
Yeah, thank you for asking. It approaches it just like it sounds, block by block. So we're really working with key stakeholders, Northwestern Mutual being one of our most critical partner in this work. We have Ezekiel at the table, Legal Aid Society, Milwaukee Christian Center, just a number of stakeholders who are really working to address the housing stock in the Imani neighborhood block by block. The Imani neighborhood spans 130 blocks. So we are excited that we're wrapping up the pilot block on 26th Street, 26th and Locust, and scaling to the next two blocks. But really our goal is to address every single block in the Imani neighborhood. And our hope is to become a model that can be replicated across the city of Milwaukee. We know that there are other neighborhoods in Milwaukee that face similar challenges to the Imani neighborhood. So our hope is to really demonstrate and prove that this can be a successful initiative, and again, that it can be replicated in other neighborhoods across the city.
And you rattled off a bunch of organizations that are committed to and working in the community, specifically in this block-by-block program. What does the program offer, though, Marisha, in terms of home repair?
We are working closely with Ezekiel in addressing critical home repairs on properties. One of the heart and soul of this initiative is really to make sure that residents have quality and affordable housing. And so our role through this initiative works to address critical repairs in the community. And Ezekiel is the general contractor leading that work.
We will have a representative from Ezekiel joining us after the 8:30 news. And our guest right now, Marisha Harris, executive director of the Dominican Center in Milwaukee, and Barbara Smith, a longtime resident of the Imani neighborhood, former president of Imani United, and currently on the chair of the city of Milwaukee's Housing and Economic Development Committee. What questions do you have about the Imani neighborhood and community development that's happening there right now? 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. And it started on one block, North 26th at Locust. And Barbara, as I understand, your house is on that pilot block. Tell us a little bit about your home before and after the project started.
Yes, I am on the pilot block. Our home is, well, my mother owns the property. She's been a homeowner for approximately 30 years. So as time goes on and as our residents become more seasoned, there are things that may go astray or not get too much attention drawn to it to repair it. So it can go for a little bit before repairs are done. And again, with her being a senior, there are just some things that she cannot do. And then, you know, once you become a senior, your income becomes limited. So there is just so many things that you can do on a limited income. So when the project came along, with me being a strong advocate for our seniors and our youth, of course, I'm going to speak up. So when the project began and the partners began to show up on the block and make themselves known, let us know what was going on the block, what their goal was for the Imani community, because again, Imani had already been voicing our concerns about what's going on in our neighborhoods as far as housing. So when the partners did come onto the block, I'm one of the residents who did not have and does not have a problem speaking up for our residents to let our voices be heard and known. So they built relationships with us. They established themselves on the block in the community. So residents saw, okay, this is a community partner that's coming in to do exactly what they say they're going to do, and they're working with the residents, not working for. Working with the residents to get this accomplished. And I think it's so important that we keep in mind that, you know, whatever community partners come into to the Imani community or whatever community, that they're working with the residents, because it needs to be, whatever is done in those neighborhoods need to be able to be sustained. If you do not equip the residents with the tools that they need to be able to sustain what's being done, it will not flourish. It will not continue to grow. So it's important that the partners continue to work with the residents, communicate with the residents, openly communicating. And then that way they're building relationships, and then the resident is not so timid or afraid to open up their doors, to allow you to come in and to evaluate their properties to see what's going on, what critical repairs need to be done. And it, again, I can't say it enough, it's important for that open communication and building those trusting relationships.
And as the Wisconsin Policy Forum points out, the reason North 26 at Locust was chosen in part was because of the community leaders that were committed to community development there. And our guest is one of those, Barbara Smith, former president of Imani United and chair of the City of Milwaukee's Housing and Economic Development Committee. Also joining us this half hour, Marisha Harris, executive director of the Dominican Center in Milwaukee, as we focus our attention on the Imani neighborhood in the near north side. What do you know about it, and what would you like to ask? 1-800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. So consider for a moment your neighborhood and tell me what your reaction would be if somebody from outside your neighborhood stopped by to say that they were there to build community. Well, what would you say? It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and that's not how you build community, and that's why what's happening in Milwaukee's Imani neighborhood is different. That's why what's happening in Milwaukee's Imani neighborhood is being used as a model for investing in ways that extend beyond money. You can't build a house without a foundation, and you can't build community without trust. If you're from Milwaukee, how do you see the Imani neighborhood? And when's the last time you gave it a good look? 1-800-642-1234 to join us, or email ideas at WPR.org. Our guest, Executive Director of the Dominican Center in Milwaukee, Marisha Harris, and Barbara Smith. She is the chair for the City of Milwaukee's Housing and Economic Development Committee, and her home is on the pilot on the block of the pilot housing project for the Imani neighborhood. And Marisha, I want to ask you how this all came together a few years ago. What was the process like starting the block-by-block housing pilot program?
It's a great question. And at the core of it is really listening to the residents, as Ms. Barbara Smith stated. Residents have been advocating for support in housing, and so a number of partners came together. And out of that coalition, the Block by Block initiative was born. So we have a number of stakeholders at the table for this work: Northwestern Mutual, LISC Milwaukee, Milwaukee Christian Center, Legal Aid Society, Ezekiel, and all of us are working together. We've been on this journey since 2019 and are excited that we're nearly complete with the pilot block that Ms. Barbara Smith lives on.
Yeah, and I do want to ask about the issue of trust when it comes to community development. The residents of the neighborhood played a big role in the success of this program. And back in November, residents told TMJ4 what they think of their neighborhood. Here's Rodney Triggs.
The media has definitely done an irresponsible job at portraying the neighborhood.
Barbara Smith, I'll ask you, how have residents' trust of outside entities eroded over time? And you alluded to this earlier when you said not working for, but rather working for with the residents in the Imani neighborhood to make a difference.
Yes, it's, and it's going to take the part of the residents to change the narrative of the story that's out there. We are capable and able of telling our own story. And we need to bring others on board to tell a positive story of Imani. There are, some negative things that are going on, not only in the Imani community, but over the city of Milwaukee. But there are more great things that are going on. So it takes us to change the narrative, to be able to tell our own story. And then, yes, there has been trust issues, because in the past there have been other organizations that come in and they make a promise to do something, and again they make a promise to do something, not necessarily communicating with the residents to find out what is it that we can assist you in doing. And then once that funding runs out for that particular organization, then they pack up and then they're gone. And then again, you have not equipped the residents with anything to be able to sustain what it is that you have done in that community. So it will diminish. And it may not have been anything that the residents wanted in the neighborhood anyway. So it's, again, I go back to my point. It's important that that communication is an open dialogue, and that you the partners are bringing the residents along in the process.
And that the partners are there to stay, that they're committed throughout, and just because the money might be gone doesn't mean that the commitment should leave. Is that fair?
Exactly.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Let's go to your calls now and your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234, where Dan in La Crosse is standing by. Dan, good morning. You're on with Marisha Harris and Barbara Smith.
Good morning. Thank you so much for this show. I'm 70 years old. I have a disability. And a local pastor formed a four-church committee here in La Crosse and gave out copies of the book Compassion, Justice, and the Christian Life by Robert T. Lupton, who did similar things in Atlanta. I just want to credit all of you for this grassroots operation. Back, I think, in the 1980s, I wrote a letter to the state daily papers calling for an UFTA, Unemployed Wisconsin Free Trade Agreement, and more power to you. I am a songwriter. I wrote a song called North Side, South Side about La Crosse. And just keep doing what you're doing. Thank you.
Dan, thank you so much. And I appreciate that perspective from La Crosse this morning. And he mentioned the unemployment idea. And one of the things that interested me is beyond the houses and community development, part of community development. And I'll ask you this, Marisha Harris, because you can cite the number of organizations that are working in the Amani neighborhood. How workforce development is a part of community development. Do you see it from your perspective as the executive director of the Dominican Center?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for bringing that point up. And that's one of the things that I love most about this initiative is that it is not solely about houses. It is also a program that works to address employment. So through the partnership with Ezekiel, our goal is to train residents in the construction trade. So we'll be excited to talk about that later on in the show. But I can share, I'm happy to share that on the pilot block, our goal was to train 30 people and we exceeded that goal and trained 30 people in construction skills. Mm-hmm. And on the other side of that training, the goal is employment. So when you think about how you can really transform a person's life, a family's life, and a community, it is through helping people obtain employment that will provide them with salaries and wages that will sustain their family. So that is also one of the critical aspects of the work that we're doing through the Black by Black initiative. So I think it's really key, and we see it in the work that we're doing in the Amani neighborhood.
There is work going on around the state, around the country, and around the world. Colleen from Madison called in, couldn't stay with us. She works in a poorer neighborhood of Madison, and she wants to know if there is a way she can follow your progress in the Amani neighborhood. She'd like to learn more about your experience there and how she can apply it to her work in her community. Marisha, where do folks go to get the roadmap that you're using in the pilot block-by-block pilot housing program?
Yes, grateful for the opportunity to share that information can be found on our website, Dominican-Center.org. Folks can follow us on social media platforms. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram, and newly on Twitter, also on LinkedIn. But on our website, we have information that we share about the Black by Black initiative, but also if individuals want to learn more about our overall revitalization efforts, we do have the Amani Neighborhood Revitalization Plan on our website as well.
We're going to put how
people can keep up with us.
Yeah, thank you, Marisha. And we've got a link to all those up. If you missed them quick, then you can catch them anytime at WPR.org/mornings. That's WPR.org/mornings. We'll have the full list up there. And Barbara Smith is a longtime resident of the Amani neighborhood, as a former president of Amani United, and as the chair of the City of Milwaukee's Housing and Economic Development Committee currently. How has this program been different than others that you have seen around the city? What is Block by Block doing differently?
Block is differently. They're connecting, true connecting with the residents. Again, keeping us in on the process step by step. It's important that residents feel that they have an equal say, have an equal stake in what's going on, especially in a neighborhood that they reside in. So many times partners can, they drive into a project and they drive out at the end of the night. This is the life of the Amani residents. So this is something that we live day in and day out. So we see what's going on. We see how it's going on. We see how we can contribute. And it's important that we stay attached to what's going on. So then that way that not only brings more pride to our particular house, but on our block. And as it's growing, it's growing again, block by block. So we're taking pride in every block that's in the Amani community. If there's something that's not looking right, we can identify that because we've been connected to the project. We've been connected to those residents, and the residents are, empowered to speak up because they hold that power. They can speak up for themselves. They don't necessarily need others to speak up for them. They can speak up for themselves. But once when we are unified and we are one voice, we're drawing just that much more positive attention to what's going on.
Coordinated, empowered, and proud. Barbara Smith, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yes, sir, and thank you so much.
I was proud to tell the story. Barbara Smith's a resident of Imani Neighborhood, former president of Imani United, and chair of the City of Milwaukee's Housing and Economic Development Committee. And Marisha Harris continues with our conversation, and we'll be joined by Ezekiel next. And if you've heard the name before, you'll hear the story when we continue. Still time for your comments and questions as well about the Imani Neighborhood and the Block by Block Community Development Program. 1-800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. In 2019, the Imani Housing Pilot Program officially launched in Milwaukee's 53206 zip code, focusing on one block of North 26th Street between Locust and Chambers. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and for Kate Archer Kent. And according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum, that block was chosen because of the mix of homeowners and renters, vacant properties and foreclosures, as well as residents who were already committed to making their neighborhood better. Later that year, the nonprofit contracted to redevelop that one block began by moving its headquarters into one of those foreclosed houses and opening it up to the community as a training facility for others. We're talking about the last decade of community development in Milwaukee's Imani Neighborhood, and we invite you to share your stories this morning at 1-800-642-1234, and Virginia will get to you. But first, I want to introduce our guest. Marisha Harris is with us for the hour, Executive Director of the Dominican Center in Milwaukee. And joining us now, Jim Gaylord. He's the Training Manager at Ezekiel Community Development Corporation and the owner of Wire Electrical Services. Jim, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Tell us about how Ezekiel Community Development Corporation fits into the revitalization of the Imani neighborhood, Jim.
Well, Ezekiel was brought onto the scene to do a couple of things, kind of be an owner's rep, construction manager, and a workforce development component on the project. We came on the block at the very beginning and walked house to house to get scopes of what type of works the people needed on their house to bring it up to a real livable standard. You had some roofs that were broken down, porches messed up, water heaters, so on and so forth, that we went and got the scope. But the first thing we wanted to do was get the trust of the people. So going door to door and moving in on the block helped us to do that. The other thing that we do is we coordinate with the contractors who are local contractors, mostly minority, small companies. And the last thing that we do, but probably the most important to me, is we want to train people of the area to work on the area. And that was the other reason we wanted to have us a presence on the block. We put our house right in the middle of the block. It was an old vacant house. The city is slated for demolition, and we wanted to rehab it and use it as a training facility, because if we're going to work on these people's houses, I didn't want to bring anybody in the house that I didn't know or didn't know if they could do anything, and we weren't going to use the people as guinea pigs. So we would use them at our house to fix it and rehab it before we would pair them up with contractors. And the other part of being on the block is let them know that we're part of this process. We're here. You got a problem, you got a resource center to come to say, hey, I got a leaking roof, I got a floorboard that's missing, and a kid fell through, or whatever. So we're right there to try to win your trust, to let you know we're not going anywhere.
So what's that Ezekiel building on North 26 look like now, Jim?
It's awesome. It's beautiful. I'm really proud of it. You got to see it to believe it, and you got to really see what it used to look like as opposed to what it looks like now. All these blighted properties in our neighborhoods, it kind of puts you in a bad way. In the morning, if that's the first thing you see is something negative, it kind of puts you in a negative spin. But now you look at it as I call it the Milwaukee Brewer colors. We didn't plan on it that way, but it's a, and I'm a Marquette guy too. So it's a kind of a blue and gold, light gold hop house, new porch, all new interior, new siding, concrete slab in the back.
Wow.
I mean, the guys, they did an excellent job on it.
Yeah. And as you say, Jim, you can turn every property into a classroom.
Exactly. We use the properties as classrooms to give people hope. A lot of people I run into, and I'm from one of these neighborhoods where there was less hope and less home, you know. So what I want to do, being a master electrician by trade, I've seen that you can make a good living in the building trades. It's tough, but if someone's willing to teach you and you have a bunch of people who really want to change their life and willing to learn. So that's what we do. We take the house, use it as a classroom, show them what they can do, and then the house is a byproduct. When we're done with the house, now we got a beautiful refurbished house to sell to a first-time home buyer to help create wealth in their family, and we've got rid of a blighted property that's an eyesore to the neighborhood.
And you've got people who are learning a craft and earning a living.
Yes, sir. And some of the people... most are formerly incarcerated or chronically unemployed, and we have even worked with currently incarcerated people. We had a relationship or have a relationship with the Milwaukee County House of Correction, where people that are eligible for work release under the Huber program would come out to our house and work during the day and, of course, go back and serve their time at night. And the theory behind this is that most people, recidivism is a big problem, yeah. Going back. And the part of that is that once they get released, they go back to the area where they lived, where they got in trouble. Sometimes around the same circles that are doing the same things. And then after maybe not getting as much response or jobs as you would like to see, they go back to their old ways sometimes. But this way... while you're in there, and I kind of pun intended, we have a captive audience. And so when they come out during the day and see what they can actually do with their hands, some of them never really had a real job before, they hustled all their life. And when they see that they can put in windows or run electrical wires to make this light work and put on porches, roofs, and things like that, it gives them a sense of pride and a feeling of self-worth. And so once they get out, now they got a skill. And a lot of them, we get hired, we hire a lot of them. And then we also have our contractors that have a memorandum of understanding to hire as well.
Jim Gaylor, training manager at the Ezekiel Community Development Corporation, which you'll find right there on North 26th in the Umani neighborhood, also the owner of Wire Electrical Services. Also joining us this hour, Marisha Harris, executive director of the Dominican Center in Milwaukee, and taking your calls as well at 1-800-642-1234. Virginia in Milwaukee, thanks for holding on. You are on the air.
Well, good morning again. And listening to this gentleman, I'm sorry I didn't get his name, but listening to him, I'm nodding my head, yes, yes, yes. Finally, there is somebody who's coming into the neighborhoods that the people there understand and respect, and they say, hey, they're willing to help us. And if people are involved with drugs, and there is so much of this going on, we know there are places to rehab, etc. And as this gentleman said, when you are building something yourself with your own hands and you get finished with it and you say, hey, look at that, I can actually do something good. I could probably build my own house now. And then this gentleman has the program going where they can go into his business. And I just think it's the most fabulous idea at this point in time. I do hope that Cavalier gets in there for the mayor, because I believe he can do more good than any white person could, because of course the people of color are going to respect their own people, and they're going to say, hey, they're really working for us. And this is what that I respect so much in these kinds of neighborhoods. Yes, there are blighted homes, et cetera. And I sometimes go through there when I'm driving, and I say, look at that gorgeous house. It's all boarded up. And why? It's because of the drugs that were used there. And that, I think this gentleman, that's exactly what he's doing. They're rehabbing these places. They're building the neighborhood up. This is exactly where we need to start. And I thank him. I just thank him from the bottom of my heart and the lady who spoke before him.
Yeah, thank you so much for that, Virginia. And Cavalier Johnson, one of the candidates for Milwaukee mayor and the ballot next Tuesday, talks about his time in the 53206 zip code as he moved around the city of Milwaukee as a kid. And that's where the Imani neighborhood is located. And Marisha Harris, I'll ask you something that Jim Gaylord said. As you mentioned, the role that Ezekiel plays in this block-by-block pilot program, in the commitment to the Imani neighborhood community, what does the role, and Jim mentioned this, what's the role that hope plays in community development, Marisha?
Oh, thank you for asking. It's incredibly important, and I think that speaks to the resident-led aspect of the work that we're doing here in the Mighty Neighborhood with the Block by Block initiative and other initiatives. One of the aspects of what we're doing is really helping residents understand their sense of agency to impact change within the neighborhood. And so, like Ms. Barbara Smith was saying, residents are working in tandem with us in this effort. And when they can see that their voices are being heard, partners are listening, and partners are supporting them and what they want to achieve in the neighborhood where they live, and then they see the tangible results, it just really inspires hope and builds on momentum, because they know that they can really use their voices and make change happen through their advocacy. And then once one resident experiences that, they become a champion and can share what they've done with other residents. And then you just start to build momentum because more people have hope, more people are advocating, and more people are influencing the changes that are happening. And that's an exciting thing to see. And as I mentioned earlier, it's extremely inspiring. We see residents every single day who live in the Imani neighborhood and face the challenges day in and day out, also raising their hands to do the work to make the Imani neighborhood a better place. And that is, again, just truly inspiring.
Hope is contagious. Our guest, Marisha Harris, the executive director of the Dominican Center in Milwaukee, and Jim Gaylord stays with us, the training manager at the Ezekiel Community Development Corporation, where you'll find themselves set up in blue and gold building on North 26th in this block-by-block pilot program that sounds like win-win, and we'd be interested in knowing from you what you think. Before we're done with our conversation this hour, 1-800-642-1234. Have you been part of a job training program? And how does that instill hope as you see it? What did you learn? And how did it help you succeed in the long run? If you are from the 53206 Milwaukee zip code, what would you like folks to know who don't live inside it? What can you share about your stories of hope and what's happening next? 1-800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You know, when it comes to a house, we build it first and then we get to live in it. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and when it comes to community, we're always simultaneously both building and living in it, whether we recognize it or not. And we spent this hour in Milwaukee's Imani neighborhood, and we've detailed just some of the countless pieces that it takes to effectively and constantly build community. It's just the way we organize ourselves, and it can be complicated, so it's important to coordinate. It can be done with the support of the city and civic groups, churches and nonprofits, banks and businesses. But community is people, and how we decide together how we're going to live together. Still time for you to share your stories of community building and the people committed to doing that work at 1-800-642-1234 or ideas at WPR.org. Our guests, Marisha Harris, Executive Director of the Dominican Center in Milwaukee, and Jim Gaylord, the Training Manager at Ezekiel Community Development Corporation, also the owner of Wire Electrical Services. And Jim, I'd like to go back to the issue of hope for a moment, if I could. And I'd like, I want to know the story of one of your trainees. And I understand you mentored almost three dozen people now through the Ezekiel Corporation house there on North 26. But tell me specifically the story of Rick.
Okay, he came as a resident from the House of Correction on Huber Release. And really a good success story because he heard about the program through another resident at the House of Correction that was currently in the program. And I give the guys homework every day. They got to go back to the House of Correction. So, I mean, what are you going to do in there? Mm-hmm. So I give them the homework to study what they're going to work on the next day. And I believe he was doing this guy's homework. So when it was the opportunity for him to get in the program, he was already working Huber at another place, a store on third shift. And so he would work third shift, then get on the bus to come out to our work sites. And some days he would be so tired, he'd be standing there asleep, but I could tell that he really wanted this, you know, and that's why he did it. And so, long story short, 2 years later, he's very close to getting his journeyman's. He's been working with me over 2 years, close to three. He's close to getting his journeyman's license. He really takes this serious. He got one of the houses that we were rehabbing and said, well, I really like this house. And so what we did was we let him do most of the work to keep the cost down. And right now he's living in that house and it felt so good a few days ago. Well, a couple of weeks ago that he came with a check to pay the balance of the house off because we had sold it to him on a land contract. And he became such a good employee, and he helped run the company, basically, and got his credit together. You got a work history. So he went to the bank. The first time you go to the bank, you got a checkered history, and it's frustrating, but he didn't give up. And so he did secure a conventional loan and came and bought the house out, got his kids in there. And just doing great things. There's a number of success stories, and you can tell that some people really want to change their life. Some people really want something better, but they've been told and shown that they can't do better. But, that's one of the great success stories I got. And he just pretty much runs the company now.
So getting his journeyman license, but also probably a potential future entrepreneur and business owner himself.
Absolutely. I've been talking to him. I may just go into training full time. You could take the company and the customers and you know, so he's really proud of what he's doing and really takes a lot of pride in trying to be the best at it. And I really acknowledge that and thank him for that.
Marisha Harris, as the executive director of the Dominican Center in Milwaukee, Shauna from Milwaukee called in to ask how people from outside the Imani neighborhood can be supportive and add their voice, their work, their support to what's happening there. What can folks do for the Imani neighborhood?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking. One way that I think everyone can support our efforts is to amplify our story. We're certainly grateful for the opportunity to be on this show this morning to share the work that's happening, and thank you for giving us this platform. But if other people can amplify the positive things that are happening in the Imani neighborhood, that would be fantastic. We often hear the negative things that are happening, but as Ms. Barbara Smith said, every day there are so many positive things happening in the neighborhood, and we need more people to be ambassadors to help us share that work more broadly. We also welcome more resources to the table. As you can imagine, this is a huge undertaking, and to really bring this work to scale, we need more resources to do so. We're incredibly grateful for Northwestern Mutual Couldn't do this work without them and the other partners at the table. Incredibly grateful for, you know, the resources available to us through the city of Milwaukee. But we need more resources to really be able to transform all 130 Blacks within the Imani neighborhood, so people can give from their hearts at a level that's comfortable to them to support this work. Additionally, as Ms. Barber-Smith said, we are always out in the community doing cleanups and different things. So we welcome people to come to the Imani neighborhood and help us clean. Unfortunately, it snowed yesterday, but as the weather turns nice, right? Like, oh my goodness, it was tough.
I'm with you there.
Right?
Yeah.
But hopefully, you know, yes, I didn't want to leave the house. But hopefully, we're in April, so hopefully the weather will be nicer to us, and we'll be out more often cleaning as the snow melts, you know, the trash surfaces. So we welcome people to come and join our efforts. We have a few cleanups on the books coming up, one being on Earth Day, which is April 22nd. That's a Friday. So if people are interested, they can contact us and we can get them plugged into that cleanup. But we have cleanups regularly during the warm months.
And Marisha, would we contact you at the Dominican
and then
Center?
If people
Sorry, would we contact
yes,
you at the Dominican
feel
Center?
Feel free to contact me.
Okay.
Yes, that's yep, that will work. And then if people have resources to offer, our role as the anchor organization in the Imani neighborhood is to really connect residents with partners and stakeholders from across the city that have resources that can add value to their lives. So if people have employment resources, any kind of resource, we welcome you to partner with us and support our revitalization efforts in the Imani neighborhood.
It sounds like a lot of work and a lot of coordination and a lot of organizations that are committed to the cause. But personally, Marisha, what's this experience in the Imani neighborhood and your work so far as the executive director of the Dominican Center? What's it been like for you?
It has been amazing. I have the opportunity to connect with big-hearted people each and every single day, whether that is Dominican Center Board of Directors, Dominican Center staff, Imani United leaders, Imani residents, and key partners. And that's been amazing. I'm learning a lot more about the Imani neighborhood, about Milwaukee, and that is great. I am a native, and I did grow up in neighborhoods that were near the Imani neighborhood and similarly situated in terms of the challenges. And so this has been an incredible blessing and full circle moment to be able to serve the community in this way. So I'm grateful and extremely excited about the journey ahead. There's so much momentum happening. The collaboration is very inspiring. I think many of us who've been working in the community know the silos, but those silos are being broken down and there's more collaboration happening, and that's awesome as well.
Marisha Harris, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And Jim
Gaylord, thank you so much for having us. Yeah. Incredibly grateful.
As are we. Jim Gaylord, thank you as well, and I hope to speak with both of you again. Marisha Harris, Executive Director of the Dominican Center in Milwaukee. Jim Gaylord, Training Manager at Ezekiel Community Development Corporation and owner of Wire Electrical Services. Earlier, we spoke with Barbara Smith, who has been a resident of Imani neighborhood for 20 years and the former president of Imani United. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you are listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.